Are you? We've got Jeremy Conway, for the CEO of Infrastructure South Australia, joins us on the line. Eventually track somebody down. G'day, Jeremy.
Hi, how are you?
Good on you.
My chair got stuck in a board meeting.
Yeah, alrighty. Thank you for making the time available. The quality of the infrastructure is critical to the economic performance of South Australia. Just tell us about what are some of the things that we ought to be doing to make sure that the infrastructure, as we move down the track for the next 5, 10, 15 years, especially in lieu of what's going on at the moment, what are some of the infrastructure projects we should be looking at and carefully considering?
Yeah, thanks. So COVID, I think, really highlighted the important role that digital infrastructure plays. Obviously, a lot of people work from home on all the Zoom calls and the like, but it's also shown the really important role that things like telehealth and online learning have to play. So South Australia has some examples of some great digital infrastructure, whether it's through Geek City or a program that the Education Department has in terms of rolling broadband out to 514 of the 518 schools in South Australia. But there's some areas in South Australia that, particularly in the regional South Australia, that don't really have the same sort of levels of digital connectivity. And the reality is the demands for data are increasing at something like 20 to 30% per year at the moment. So that the real need to make sure that we have the digital infrastructure that addresses any issues we might have around the digital divide across South Australia, but also gives us the best opportunity to capture what the new business models and new industries will be of the future as well. So that'll be one of the key focuses, I think, coming out of COVID.
Yeah, we're talking to the CEO of the Infrastructure South Australia, Jeremy Conway, on this Monday afternoon here in Adelaide's 5AA. Jeremy, you would have read Matt Smith, the political editor of the Sunday Mail's article yesterday in the paper. He says that supersizing regional centres could play a key role in the economic recovery that we're hoping will eventuate. You would agree with that, would you not?
Yeah. I mean, South Australia, I think, has some challenges that we have. A very large landmass, a very sparse population. We don't have the sort of regional centres you might find in some of the other states, which does make it a challenge to provide efficient infrastructure services. And so we would see some real value in terms of trying to increase the size of some of those regional centres so you can have a more complete and comprehensive range of services out in the regions without having people to always commute back into Adelaide to go and see a specialist or something like that.
Right. When you talk about infrastructure, for those of us who are not across it as much as you are, well, God blimey, you're the CEO of the whole shooting match here in South Australia. What exactly are we talking about when we're talking about infrastructure, Jeremy?
Yeah, we took a pretty comprehensive view. So a lot of people, when they think infrastructure, think about roads or rail or maybe power or whatever. But it's much more than that. So we were looking at all social infrastructure, so whether that's health or education, community assets like galleries and museums, and sporting infrastructure, as well as a really important role that digital infrastructure plays. So it's a pretty comprehensive view of infrastructure that we took on the strategy. The important thing to recognise is that you don't build infrastructure for infrastructure's sake. You build it to serve a purpose, whether that's to facilitate economic growth or ensure that we can provide the range of necessary and essential services across the communities in South Australia.
Righto, 17 minutes to two. Jeremy from down at Flagstaff Hill. Ray's got a question for you. Ray, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My query is, the corner of Landers Road and Candy Road and South Road, why did that intersection take over 6 months to complete?
Yeah, thanks for your question. Unfortunately, that's an issue that I think DIPG is really going to have to answer. So ISA, we're about trying to develop up the long-term strategy and review the business cases. In terms of the actual project delivery, they're an issue that DIPG is going to respond to. But in a general sense, a lot of the intersections in Metro Adelaide, you often have a lot of complications around things that you can't see. So it's the services underneath the ground that sometimes might need to be relocated, and some of those things can take some time to do.
Right, Ray, hope to answer the question. This Jeremy is from Felix up at Port Augusta. He said, it's important that we in the country don't get left behind. I think we'd all agree with that. As part of the recovery and more broadly, What does the strategy offer for regions such as ours up here in Port Augusta?
Yeah, really, really agree with those sentiments. So, notwithstanding that we have pretty sparse population density in South Australia, a lot of our exports come from the region. I think like 60 to 70% of our merchandise exports all come from regional South Australia, whether that's food or ag produce, mining and the like. So really important part of the South Australian economy, and more so than that, just a really important part of our history and culture. We touched on a lot of the really important aspects of trying to identify what are the corridors and investments we need to try and unlock some of the mineral and gas resources, but also the road maintenance issues in the regions are really quite important. So you have lots of trucks driving up and down the region, interacting with cars. Unfortunately, a really high disproportionate amount of our road tolls out in the region. So addressing some of those road maintenance and road safety issues is something that we see really important. And again, the digital infrastructure and connectivity in the regions is key so that they're able to access the same sort of level of services that we can in Metro Adelaide.
Jeremy, we'll take a break. When we come back, what would be, and I'll give you a moment or so to think about it, you've probably got the answer right on your tip of your fingers. What are the 1, 2 and 3 priorities as we look for the next 5, 10 years in the recovery from the COVID thing? We'll be back in a moment or so. We're talking with the CEO of Infrastructure South Australia, a bloke who's got a big job ahead of him over the next umpteen number of years, Jeremy Conway. It's a little after 1:45 now.
Now, Barry?
I just saved us $200, Bev.
How?
Walker Crash Repairs are giving us $200 toward the excess on caravan repair claims. How good is that? $200 off the excess.
And they'll fix that scrape you put in the van on our summer trip?
Yep. And I save $200.
Or?
It goes to you, love. Walker Crash Repairs. Insurance repairs to caravans, cars and four-wheel drives. An RAA-approved crash repairer. Terms and conditions apply.
This month at Bob Burns Blinds, save up to 50% on roller blinds, vertical drapes, awnings, curtains and more. Secure your home with security doors starting at $399. Made local, made to last at Bob Burns Blinds.
Are you one of the 3 Australians who suffer from a skin condition? One Australian brand can help you find relief. Graham's Natural Range at Chemist Warehouse. Its science-based, naturally formulated skincare range is proven to provide effective relief from eczema, dermatitis, psoriasis, rosacea and baby eczema. Graham's Natural Range starts from $12.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. If symptoms persist, talk to your health professional. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Fix here. Doing the Vinny CEO sleepout last year was tough, but it was nothing compared to what thousands of homeless South Aussies go through every night. This year, because of COVID-19, the Vinny CEO sleepout on June 18 will transform into an interactive live-streamed event. Business and community leaders will sleep outdoors in their car or on their couch, 3 common forms of homelessness, and they'll share the experience online. Will you put your hand up to get involved? Register at ceosleepout.org.au.
At Spotlight, a window's what you make it. Save 30% off made-to-measure internal shutters, plus a further 10% off if you do it yourself. Book your free in-home measuring quote today. Call 1-300-662-742. Exclusions apply. At Spotlight, it's what you make it.
Remember when the idea of working from home sounded like a great idea and setting up a proper home office was a dream, not a necessity? Welcome to the new reality.
5AA's Talking Tech with Adelaide Tech Guy Richard Pascoe for Harvey Norman Computers.
With a lot of the typical office workforce moving into remote arrangements, it's critical now to create an effective and comfortable workspace at home. Harvey Norman has all the gear you need, from a new notebook, desktop or all-in-one computer, to printers and scanners and networking equipment to improve your Wi-Fi. Interest-free terms are also available. Obviously, if you are working from home, you need an office suite, and Microsoft Office 365 is your answer. As a 5AA exclusive, pick up Office 365 Personal for only $79, or it's free with a new computer purchase. To take advantage of this offer, just tell them I sent you in.
For more of Richard's great tech info, check out the Talking Tech lifestyle page at 5AA.com.au. Thanks to Harvey Norman Computers.
If you could see flu or coronavirus, you'd see how easily it spreads. Just by sneezing or coughing, you could be infecting those around you. But we can all take steps to stop the spread. Stay away from others when you're sick. cover your coughs and sneezes, regularly wash your hands and wipe down surfaces. Let's all help stop the spread of infectious disease. Visit stopthespread.sa.gov.au. A message from the Government of South Australia.
Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Caravan Repairs. Easy insurance repairs, fast. This is Tony Pilkington.
It's just on 10 minutes to 2. We're talking with Jeremy Conway, who's the CEO of Infrastructure South Australia. And, of course, the development of infrastructure and the prioritising is just so important as we recover from this COVID thing. Jeremy, if you were forced to give us 1, 2, 3, what would be the first three things that you want to tackle over the next few years?
Yeah, sure. So I think, particularly in the wake of COVID, the one thing that I say is really a keen advocate for is a much greater level of investment in asset maintenance. I know politicians like to cut ribbons on big, new, shiny sort of things, but often it's not about building new infrastructure. It's about making the infrastructure better.
Yeah.
And we have one of our key priorities and principles around optimising the use of infrastructure. And so whether that's the roads, the condition of your school, your hospital, one of the things that was clear through the strategy was across all sectors, there was a huge maintenance backlog across South Australia. And in COVID, rolling out maintenance programs is a really fast and effective way to get work out into the community, spread it across South Australia so it's not just concentrated into one big mega project.
Yeah.
So I think that's consistent across South Australia. Number two, I've touched on it before, is making sure that we've got the right digital infrastructure in place. That's really important, not only to support working now, but going forward in terms of industries. And I think number three, because one area where I think we have some real demonstrated global demand for is the whether it's the wine or produce coming out of the Barossa, and global demand for copper is really growing with the rise of electronics and EVs and things like that. And so we see a need for coming up with the business case to put water infrastructure to get water up to the Barossa so they can be more productive and expand plantings up there, as well as getting water up to the far north to the copper producing areas of Olympic Dam and Carrapateena and the like.
Debbie is originally from Pirie, down in Adelaide at the moment, looking after the grandkids, apparently, while the daughter and the son-in-law go to work. She said, we're such a big state with such a small population, a sparse population throughout the country area. She said, does that present a difficulty when we're talking about the development of infrastructure, the all-important infrastructure, over the next few years? She said, I read an article in the paper on the weekend. Actually, the article you read was by Matt Smith, the political editor, and yesterday's Sunday Mail, actually. Debbie says that we've got, say, 300,000 to 400,000 people across an area the size of France and Germany combined. So there's so few people living in a big, big outback of ours. Is that a difficulty, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, it does provide a challenge in terms of providing the necessary infrastructure. And sometimes it's not just about providing the asset itself, but particularly when you look at things like healthcare, to be able to make sure that all the medical specialists are contemporary and up-to-date with all the new methods of service, they need to have a certain amount of case flow, which becomes really hard when you've got sparse populations. So that's where you need to look at some of the more innovative models, like the application of telehealth. So you can, whether it's in Pirie or Crystal Brook or anywhere around the mid-north,
yeah,
you're able to actually access the expert consultant and consultation on a telehealth online sort of way. Some of those sorts of models, I think, will be very beneficial going forward out in the region.
Are the challenges that we face here in South Australia, are they different to those of the more populous eastern states, Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, for example?
Yeah, I think they are. But it's a challenge and an opportunity at the same time. So a place like Melbourne that's been growing at 130,000 people a year, and they get out in the western suburbs of Melbourne a new kindergarten of kids every week. So that presents some real challenge in terms of just trying to keep up with that population demand. And you often hear the amount of congestion and the like. Whereas South Australia, infrastructure, I think, has a much more important role in terms of trying to catalyse growth. So it's about trying to identify where and how we want the growth to occur, and so we can still maintain and enhance to some extent our livability of our communities, which I think everyone here in South Australia really holds dear. And to be honest, I think through this COVID crisis, it's really shown what a great place South Australia is to live.
Oh, no doubt about that. Paul's question is an interesting one. He said, do these projects, do they have to be finalised by the government, and who actually has got the immediate responsibility for giving it the tick? Is it the Premier, is it the Treasurer, or is it a combination of Cabinet as such?
Yeah, probably most of it's a combination of Cabinet. I think one of the things that we really call for is South Australia, traditionally most of its infrastructure has already been funded through general government, and so we're keen to see more private sector investment in a lot of this infrastructure. I think all state government budgets are going to be a bit stretched by the time we come out of COVID. So it's finding ways that we can encourage that investment. But ultimately, most of these things, it's going to be a Cabinet decision.
Jeremy, just finally, we've had a threesome. Let's face it, we've had the tragedy of the bushfires, and then we had the drought, and now we've got this COVID-19 thing. Have you had to actually change your thinking? I imagine you would have over the last couple of months or so, and say these are the things that have got to be prioritised, 1, 2, 3, as opposed to perhaps some planning, say, 6 months or so ago.
Yeah, it's been a pretty terrible start to 2020, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, oh, just awful, just dreadful.
Yeah, so I think it's really highlighted the need for resilience to be at the heart of a lot of the infrastructure planning going forward, and probably has shifted a little bit of the priorities and brought forward some of the need for some of the investment. But at the heart of it, the themes and priorities were identified in the strategy. We're really around trying to address the lower than average growth South Australia's had for a long time, and so really about trying to kickstart growth. And so in that post-COVID environment where we're about economic recovery, a lot of those themes are consistent, probably just accelerated and brought forward the need for some of these sorts of things.
Yeah. When will you start? I suppose it really depends upon how the economy is travelling and when most of the restrictions are lifted. I don't suppose you've got a definitive starting date, have you?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, part of it will be really understanding how quickly some of those international borders get reopened as well, because a lot of our population growth historically in South Australia has been through international migration, and exactly what that looks like. It's going to be a little bit unclear until there's some more certainty around the borders and people's appetite to travel, I guess.
Jeremy, thanks for being available this afternoon at very late notice. We appreciate the fact you made yourself available, and good on you. Thank you for that. We'll talk again down the track.
My pleasure. Thanks.
That's Jeremy Conway, and Jeremy is the CEO of Infrastructure here in South Australia with a big job, a big couple of years coming up. It's 3 minutes.